Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Tampa Bay, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we say in DA, everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us, DA, with you. And we've got a great show coming up for you this morning. We've got Tiki Barber, our good friend, joining us. He'll be on the call this weekend of the NFL, so we'll talk to Teak about some NFL-related stories coming up here on the show 1 hour from now. Always fun when our friend Tiki Barber, our peer, our colleague, our teammate here at CBS Sports Radio, drops on by, and he'll be on the TV side of things this weekend. Also, we'll re-rack Chad Brown, former Colorado standout, former Pro Bowl linebacker in the NFL, tried to wrestle him down yesterday. He got away from us, so we'll have him back on the show, rebooked for today in hour number 3. From a college football standpoint, this weekend, championship weekend, what does it mean to the college football playoff picture? What's his predictions? We'll get to that coming up at hour number 3. Also, Cowboys and Bears tonight. Are the Cowboys going to lay down again? The NFL's postseason seeding is under scrutiny right now because we could have a 12-4 Seattle or San Francisco team going on the road to a 500 NFC East winner. Do we got to change this? The Mets look like they will be sold to a billionaire who's a 13-time billionaire. Imagine being worth $13 billion with a B.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
Is that the future of sports? We'll discuss, and we'll also unveil number 4 in the first 4 out of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Tomorrow, we begin with number 12. Today, the last team out of the 12 DAs. Also, Super Dave has his college football picks as well. Still just a game behind Mraz in the win column. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. Let's begin in Los Angeles, where we have news on the USC coach front. Clay Helton's coming back. I'm Ron Burgundy. It seemed to be written in stone that Clay Helton would be fired this season. I mean, how long have we been talking about Urban Meyer taking over that program? 2 months? 3 months? 6 months? Longer? How long have we assumed that Clay Helton would be out? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? 6 weeks? When you look at Clay Helton's record at USC as head coach. We're now five seasons in. It's pretty underwhelming. Pretty underwhelming. This year, he is 8-4 overall, 7-2 in the Pac-12, will not be playing in the Pac-12 championship game. Last season was a sub-500 year at USC. They went 5-7 overall, just 4-5 in the Pac-12. Imagine USC being sub-500, losing record in the Pac-12. The year before, 2017, was his best season. They went 11-3, 8-1 of the Pac-12, ended up going to the Cotton Bowl, and finished with an 11-win campaign. The year before that, went to the Rose Bowl, 2016, solid, but again, a 3-loss season. And his first year at USC was a 5-4 campaign. It's been good, but not great. For Clay Helton. Good, not great. And USC usually demands great. So why is Clay Helton coming back for year number 6 after an 8-4 season and not even a spot in the Pac-12 championship game? Well, I'll tell you why. There weren't better options. It's not that USC wasn't looking. It's that USC couldn't land the big fish. Are the Trojans making a mistake coming back to Helton next year? It's where we begin your cold open.
It's important to win. You heard the president talking about winning. And I'm not trying to add more pressure to him or the student athletes that represent him, but we always want to finish strong. Good programs finish strong. The idea is we want to see him and his team finish strong, and I'm going to do everything I can to support those young men and those coaches and everybody tied to the program to do exactly that.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
I think it's a mistake. That was Mike Bone, the AD at USC in November. I think it's a mistake. Because I don't think you're going to get a better USC next year. Clay Helton has proven to be a good guy and a fair coach, but not a great coach that can elevate that program to where it belongs, which is perennially a national championship contender. Clay Helton is not Urban Meyer. He's not Nick Saban. He's not Dabo Swinney. He's not even Kirby Smart. He is not Lincoln Riley. He's not Ryan Day. He's not those guys. He is not an elite head coach in college football, and USC deserves one of those because it's that good of a job. Clay Helton, their recruiting class right now, and we're about, what, a month away, 2 months away from finalization on it? 67th in the country. 67th. USC should never be 67th ranked recruiting class. 4 losses at USC. That should be enough to keep your job after 7 losses last year. When you have 11 losses in 2 seasons, that should not be enough to keep your job. But I'll tell you what happened here. I think Mike Bone was scared off by Urban Meyer because I think Urban would have taken this job. Scared off because I think that USC administration right now is dealing with all the other fallout around the athletic department with the Fugazi resumes and applications and Aunt Becky and all of those coaches that allowed bribery to affect their recruiting and kids on their teams. I think the administration is right now locked into cleaning that up because that's the bigger black eye than going 8-4 in football. When Aunt Becky from Full House is in cuffs and she's tied directly to you and your school, that's the bigger black eye to clean up right now. You can stomach 8-4. So I think they said, Urban Meyer, you know what? We don't have the stomach for this. I think next up, James Franklin might not have wanted to leave Penn State right now. Maybe they didn't have the money to woo him away. And a guy like Chris Peterson probably does want to take a year off of coaching before he comes back minimum. Maybe he doesn't come back, but probably at least needs a year off.
My thinking here is that USC kicked the can down the road for one more year and are saying, all right, we can't get the dream guy right now. Clay Helton's fine. We got other stuff. He's a USC guy. So you know what? Let's revisit this next year. They didn't have to extend him. He's got a contract through 2023. So they save the buyout money and they say, let's just, it's good enough right now. Let's get to 2020. Let's see if it gets any better. If it doesn't, we'll probably fire him next year and try to land our big fish next year. You can't tell me that USC wasn't trying to land a big fish to try to get a replacement for Clay Helton, because there's a lot of frustration, understandably so, around that football program and its lack of success. But at this point in time, I think they couldn't get the guy they wanted, so they said, okay, it's good enough for another year. He's under contract anyway. Let's square away everything else. Fine. I think this is a Clay Helton fine for one more year. But to me, that's a mistake, because if you're going to fire a guy, eventually, why not do it now? I mean, again, unless you just could not get anybody that you thought was an improvement over Clay Helton. But that in and of itself is a shame, because you have one of the best jobs in America.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Clay inherited a weird situation, because that was the Sarkisian year where Sarkisian got real drunk.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
Had to be terminated. Clay Helton took over after 1 month of the season and, you know, has been fine. But he's not the guy to win a national championship there. When we come back tonight in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears both have seasons on the brink. Should we expect a Dallas letdown game tonight? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. It's like Christmas in December. You can listen on terrestrial radio, CBS Sports Radio affiliates across the country, hundreds of them. Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can listen to us as well on your phone for free. Use the radio.com app. Yes, it's free. Use the CBS Sports app. That's free as well. Or watch us at watchda.com.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
I am excited.
What is you? What is you at all?
I've been asking that question, and to me, it's really the essence of life. I wouldn't be surprised if I hired a Sherpa to hike up the Himalayas, and I came across some type of temple with monks in it, and I asked, coming out of the blizzard, freezing cold, I come into this temple, and they ask, why are you here? And I said, I'm looking for the meaning of life. And they would say, what's your question? And I would say, what is you? What is you at all?
What is you? What is you at all?
In the grand scheme of things, you look around at this universe, this galaxy, and you think of yourself as totally minuscule, unimportant, an ant in the middle of an oasis, oceans, mountains. What is you? What is you at all?
I went to Nashville, Tennessee to rescue my baby from the streets of Nashville, which, by the way, are not for babies.
I've been reading books, tomes, trying to find the answer to the most important question in life.
What is you? What is you at all?
Why do we exist? What is our purpose? And what is you? What is you at all?
Good job. You're going to win a top radio DJ job.
As I've stated before, the resurgence and the return of Meth Head Mark to the DA show is the greatest comeback perhaps since Jesus rose.
A most machine of death.
The fact that Meth Head Mark is back, risen from the grave, to come back to the DA show in drop form is the greatest return, the greatest comeback at least since Patriots down 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
Oh, I got 5 days for sleeping, actually.
Okay, now what
was And I caught a disease in jail.
Uh-huh.
I should have probably sued him for that one.
855-212-4CBS on Twitter. DA on CBS.
I do love the Da.
Tonight, Cowboys and Bears. The Bears from Chicago. And we are really quite... We're quite lucky to be graced by two amazing teams that are living up to preseason expectations and giving their fans no types of agita or frustration. I mean, when you look at these two teams or these two coaches, they've really gotten the most out of what their rosters are, right? What was that that Matt Nagy had on Khalil Mack a couple of weeks ago? An ofer? Don't know if I've ever seen that. All-world defensive end, defensive lineman, pass rusher extraordinaire. Khalil Mack finishes with zero tackles, zero assists, zero sacks, zero pressures. Oh, boy. That was good, huh? Then there was Jason Garrett, who with an offense with a healthy Dak Prescott and a healthy Zeke, and a number of weapons on the outside, the return of Jason Witten, and with Amari Cooper this season, is 500. And the last 2 weeks, the offense is combined for what? One touchdown, I think it has been? One touchdown in 2 weeks? Yep, it's going to be a fun one tonight as the Bears and the Cowboys are going at it. Two teams operating at their highest level. I think the biggest question tonight, because the Bears are out of it, the Bears season is over, thanks for nothing, Chicago Bears, is will the Cowboys lay down? And that is absolutely on the table, everybody. I hate to break it to you, but you know this as well as I do. The Cowboys laying down tonight in Chicago is on the table. Look, I think that it's possible that loss against the Patriots zap them of any type of life force that they had, any type of energy or juice. Because last week, I know the Bills' defense is very good, and I've got a lot of respect for Sean McDermott, a lot of respect for how the Bills have built up that program over the last couple of years. But after the opening drive, the Cowboys didn't score again. They just had nothing, and how sloppy, how out of sync, how lethargic was the entire effort after that opening drive on Thanksgiving. And to just look at Jason Garrett, I mean, the guy looked like he was neutered. I think after that Patriots game, he knew it was over. I think when Jerry finally spoke out, Jerry had finally broken, and finally spoke out about not living up to expectations, and that he was frustrated, that it was a huge setback, that they need to win those games at some point in time, I think Jason Garrett knew it's over. And it should be, by the way. It should be over. Because last week I saw no fight. And if that's Jason Garrett and he's fighting for his job, how do you expect the rest of the guys on that roster that know they got paid because Jerry paid all that money this offseason, and you know Dak knows he's going to get paid. And this is not to suggest that Dak didn't want to win or doesn't want to win. I just think their season came down to that New England game. That's what it looked like. And I would not be surprised at all if tonight the Cowboys once again gave us a stinker, a total egg. It would not surprise me at all if tonight you saw a Cowboys team with no juice. If they didn't have juice on Thanksgiving, knowing where their season was in peril, what leads us to believe that tonight they're going to get it? Here is their only hope. Toby Obi-Wan. The only hope right now for the Cowboys is that Trubisky throws them a couple of pick sixes or a strip sack, and they get some big defensive plays that build up some momentum, and that the Bears season already over, the Bears go into the tank, and that's it, game, set, match, and the Cowboys suddenly think they can feel good about themselves because they made a bad, stinking bad offense look bad tonight. But what's more likely? Did the Cowboys show you life and fight, or that they had the plug pulled on them in that New England game, which is crazy because they could still win this division. They can still host a playoff game. But I thought they would respond well on Thanksgiving. I don't know why. I just felt like, you know what? Jason Garrett's teams backed into a corner, oftentimes respond well. Short week, yes, but at home, Thanksgiving, this would be a chance for the Cowboys to say, you know what? Last week wasn't us, and we're mad, and Garrett fighting for his job. And they were worse. They were worse. So how can I have faith that today, tonight, they're going to somehow get it together? I can't. But, again, there's the Trubisky factor where he might just give you 7 points. Maybe more. Whereas, what is more likely? The Cowboys lay down tonight and look awful? Or Trubisky gives them life because he throws a pick six and gives up a strip sack?
I think it's more likely Trubisky gives them life and the all is well in Cowboy land tomorrow morning because Mitchell Trubisky spits up all over himself. I think the Cowboys win tonight. It's a matter of if they win pretty, it'll be because Trubisky sucks.
So you think that it's inevitable that Trubisky gives them this game tonight?
It's not necessarily inevitable that Trubisky gives them the game. It's just more likely. I think it's inevitable the Cowboys are going to win the game because I think they're more talented than the Bears. I think they come off this break as the Bears have, and I think they will find a way to win the game. But if it looks pretty for the Cowboys, it'll be because Trubisky spit it up. This game could be 19-16 Cowboys. We don't feel great about it afterwards, but they win the game.
So we have no faith after Trubisky's Thanksgiving.
I don't. Look, they were still facing David Blau, who had a nice first quarter there. I have no faith after beating the Lions. Trubisky is who we thought he was.
How about the Bears getting a win over a guy by the name of David Blau?
You know, Damon, I'm glad you mentioned this. Will be my up-the-gut column on CBSSportsRadio.com. It's a shame because David Blau, I think what went so undersold this week, he saved that game on Thanksgiving.
He wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, and because of him, that game became entertaining because otherwise it was the Lions and Bears, what seemed to be two dead teams, and if it was Stafford who stunk or Jeff Driscoll who stunk, it would have been fine. David Blau and his story, throwing those touchdowns in the first quarter, it got everybody in for playing football in the backyard to say, let's see what this kid's got, and the game became entertaining because of him, and now he's going to go down as Mike McMahon because they lost the game.
He'll never get another start.
Well, he's starting this weekend.
I mean, after the season.
Oh, no. David Blau, forget about it.
He'll never get another starting job is what I mean.
No, I bet you David Blau's in year two of the XFL.
I was going to say, watching Blau last weekend on Thanksgiving made me think of a movie like The Rookie where a guy plays in the AAF or the XFL and gets one start on Thanksgiving with the nation watching and actually throws a few touchdown passes.
It's unbelievable. Isn't it the shame? 8 years from now, we're going to sit down and watch a Lion game at Thanksgiving, and we're going to forget that David Blau had that day because they didn't win the game. And if the Lions won the game and beat the Bears that day, we will always would have remembered the David Blau Thanksgiving game, and now
would
we never will.
Would
yes,
we
would have.
Would we remember
yes,
the David Blau game?
The day David Blau burst onto the scene and beat the Bears, we would have always remembered. Now they lost the game, we're going to forget who he is. He's Mike McMahon.
So you think had the Lions won between two non-playoff teams last weekend, we would always remember the David Blau game.
Absolutely. The David Blau game would have gone down in history if it was that classic a game.
Got it. Okay, so the Immaculate Reception.
Music City Miracle.
Music City Miracle.
Ghost of the Post. Sea of Hands.
David Blau game.
David Blau, right. Tyree catch right below it.
Okay, Patriots come back over the Falcons.
Dolphins field goal, the Dolphins and Cowboys, the blocked field goal in the snow.
The snow angel game, yeah. The Leon Lett game.
The catch.
The catch. The David Blau game.
David Blau. Put it in the NFL 200 ceremony 100 years from now.
Ice Bowl, Marino beats the 85 Bears, David Blau game.
Yes! Had they won the game, we would have remembered David Blau forever on Thanksgiving.
He's Kellen Winslow being senior, limping off the field, arm in arm with his fellow Chargers.
You'll always remember what Aunt Eleanor made before the Thanksgiving dinner, made her lasagna when you were watching David Blau in weird gray uniforms beat the Bears. That would have been a day we remember forever.
On NFL 150, 50 years from now.
That's better than NFL 200, sure.
They count down the 150 greatest plays or greatest games ever. The David Blau game comes up top five.
Yeah, look, wise guy, you do all these NFL top 10 shows. They're going to run out of ideas. They probably already have. When they do top 10 forgotten Thanksgiving moments, David Blau's not at least making that?
The David Blau game.
The David Blau first quarter. We at least have that from last week.
Ice Bowl goes to the post. Immaculate reception, Blau's quarter. Blau's first. When we come back here on the show, the NFL postseason structure has a flaw foundationally in it, and it's going to get exposed again this January. We'll talk about it coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. We count down the 12 DAs of Christmas. Here's a moment that got stuck in the chimney.
I'm a man, all right? I like my life. I don't need to go on some quiz show and let you know if I know, you know, who laid the fertile stomping grounds in the desert of Arizona in 66. I mean, you know, I was on honor roll. Like, I wasn't Harvard bound. I was community college bound.
And right. Then the accident happened.
No. Come on. That's not fair.
And then the anvil fell from floor three.
And the reactor leaked in the entire community.
That's not right.
That was the day that Jeopardy James was collecting all of those winnings, going on that run on Jeopardy after having a career as a sports bettor. And Mraz was very bitter about him having success in two different realms in life. I believe that's also where the drop comes from, where I said, and then he was bitten by a radioactive spider that had just eaten a Domino's pizza. We are counting down the best moment to 2019. The 12 DAs of Christmas begin in full tomorrow, number 12, coming up tomorrow. So today we'll have the first four out, the final entrant. So number four, if you will, of the first four out. That comes your way in about an hour from now. Also, remember to cast your votes because we are collecting the popular vote from you guys. The D'Aliens will have a say in the 12 DAs of Christmas this year. Vote in the poll on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Go back to Monday, you'll see that poll. Also, you can vote on Twitter. We've posted those polls on my Twitter page. Mraz has retweeted them as well. Again, go back to Monday, scroll feed, and you'll see those Twitter polls, and you can vote in them there. We are factoring those in and announcing those results as the day moves on. Voting will close at noon Eastern time today. So by the end of today's show, the popular vote is closed because we need to tally for tomorrow's number 12. (855) 212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Fix tweets in, DA, I just saw pics of your Alliance draft day last year. The league was great, and while the offense started off sloppy, it got better as the season went along. As a WWE fan, I know Vince McMahon is not above such underhanded tactics. Look up all the lawsuits he put up on WCW in the 90s. Fix, you're a man of truth, of honor, of prestige, and I applaud you for that. I wonder, was today the 1 year anniversary or yesterday of the Alliance draft? Is that possible? Is that
it's
why
it's Alliance signing day?
Is that why it popped up and fixed his timeline?
I'll look that back up. I have a hard time thinking we did that in December.
Well, the season began in February, so wouldn't we have decided around now who our teams were?
Maybe. I felt like that was January.
Okay, maybe.
I'll look that back up.
Either way, we had a draft day where we all decided who our teams were. We held a signing day, if you will. I took the hot shots of Arizona. Mraz took the Apollos. He became perhaps the most famous Apollos fan in the country.
The Alliance.
He was their celebrity fan. He was like their Spike Lee. Bilotti went to the Memphis Maniacs. No, the Memphis Express. I'm thinking of the old XFL. And Bogish went with the San Diego Fleet.
By the way, we did this February 7th, right before the opener.
Ah, okay. Well.
Way off.
2 months off, yeah.
Decision. Alliance.
A-A-F it. Fix.
A-A-F it.
You're right. Don't put it above Vince McMahon for having helped eliminate the Alliance last year by sliding some cash under the table to dodgy Tom Dundon to pull the plug on the league so that they would have a boatload of players to then pick from and no competition. Remember, we could have had two warring spring football leagues this year, but no. All right, let's talk about the NFL playoff structure here, because think about what is happening in the NFC West right now. Two of the best teams in football are in the same division, the Seahawks and the Niners. Right now, the Seahawks have a tiebreaker over the Niners. However, they will play again. But you could easily have a 12-4 team in that division that does not win the division, ends up being a wild card. Imagine winning 12 of your 16 games, or even 13 of your 16 games, and not hosting a playoff game. Imagine going 12-4, or 13-3, and not only having to play wild card weekend, but having to go on the road 3 consecutive weeks. It's in play. Think about this. Week 17. Actually, let me back this up to week 16, okay? Let me take you through this possibility. Cowboys and Eagles are both 6-7. Now, let's say they're really 7-8. Okay, we're 6-8 going into week 16. That's in play with the way both these teams are playing. They're both 6-8. Week 16, they end up playing. Winner ends up winning the division at 8-8 or 7-9. Let's even say it's 7-9. So we have this battle for the NFC East supremacy, only for the Eagles to end up winning the division at 7-9. The next week, we have another win and in game, but in this case, it's Niners Seahawks for the chance to go 13-3. Winner is the one seed, loser goes on the road to Philadelphia in that division, in that wild card weekend. Now, how crazy would that be if you have two teams battling for 7-9 for a home playoff game and two teams battling for 13-3 the next week, loser on the road at that 7-9 team? That's what could play out. And this is what I hate about the NFL playoffs, that just by virtue of winning your division, you automatically not only are in the playoffs, no matter how bad your record is, but also you host the playoff game. Look, I'm bothered. I'm annoyed when we have 8-8 teams or 7-9 teams, which has happened, or 7-8-1 teams in the playoffs in general. I think it's a joke to have losing records in the NFL playoffs. You only get 6 teams in per conference. There's no reason that if you have a losing record doesn't get you into the Peach Bowl. Losing record won't get you into the Bahamas Bowl. But a losing record gets you a home playoff game in the NFL playoffs? I hate that. I think if you have a losing record, no matter if you won the division or not, you should be eliminated from the postseason. 8-8 or better. I'd like to see 9-7 or better. I think it's a crazy situation where college football bowls have a stricter policy than the NFL playoffs. 7-9, 7-8-1, sorry, you can't go to the playoffs. We take the next best record. But okay, you want to reward every division winner. All right, they get into the playoffs, but they cannot host a playoff game if they face off against a team with a better record. Let me take you back to 2008. In the AFC South, 08 happened to be that crazy, weird Kerry Collins Titans year where Jeff Fisher and Kerry Collins went to 13-3. Remember how crazy that was in 08? They ended up as the one seed and lost their first playoff game. But because they were 13-3 in the AFC South, 12-4 Peyton Manning. 12-4 Peyton Manning was a wild card team on the road in the first round. He had to go to San Diego where the Chargers won the AFC West at 8. Peyton Manning and the Colts, 12-4, go on the road to 8-8 San Diego. They go to overtime. Peyton Manning never touches the football. The Colts can't get the ball back. The Chargers win. Now, think of how crazy unfair that is. That the Colts go 12-4 versus 8-8. They're four games better in a 16-game schedule. Have to go on the road, across the country, play in the playoffs, and don't touch the ball in overtime. Sorry, your season's over. Chargers would lose the next week. This makes sense. Let me take you back to 2014. The Arizona Cardinals go 11-5 in the NFC West. 11-5 in 2014. This is when the Niners and the Seahawks are kind of at their best. The Cardinals muster 11-5 under Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer. They're a wild card, so they go on the road to Carolina where the Panthers were 7-8-1 and hosted the playoff game. Panthers won 27-16. Now, I think that might have been that really gross game where the Cardinals quarterback, it wasn't Carson Palmer. What was it? That guy was terrible that day.
I think he played at Fordham.
The Fordham kid?
Skelton?
Skelton. Was it the John Skelton playoff game? Could have been the John Skelton playoff game. 7-8-1. 7-8-1. They end up hosting Ryan Lindley. It was the Lindley game. Ryan Lindley and the Cardinals, because Carson Palmer got injured, go 11-5, got to go on the road to 7-8-1. And the Panthers win that game, 11-5, you're going home. Is this the right way to decide the NFL playoffs? This year, 12-4 Seattle or 12-4 San Francisco could go on the road to 7-9 Dallas or 7-9 Philadelphia. Is that the way we want it? You know why this is because the 32 owners say, oh, well, if we win the division, we need that home playoff gate. We want a reward for the home. We want a reward to win the division. We want the home playoff game because we want all of those fans and those seats. That's an extra home game for us in the playoffs. We get all that money. We want that. Screw that. Your team wasn't good enough to host. 7-8-1, 7-9, 8-8, hosting teams that are three or four games better than you. That's ridiculous. It's going to happen again this year, and it's a joke. Do the Cowboys deserve this year to host a playoff game? Do the Eagles this year deserve to host a playoff game? And more so, do the Seahawks or Niners deserve to go on the road in the wild card weekend to those places? The answer is no. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS. You know what? Let's take a look back at the 2014 wild card round. Carolina Panthers, as I mentioned before, 27-16 winners. Ryan Lindley that day, a 16 of 28 effort for a cool 82 yards, two interceptions, sacked four times for a robust quarterback rating of 44.3. The Cardinals' leading rusher that day, Kerwin Williams, 10 carries, 23 yards. The Cardinals mustered 78 total offensive yards that day. 78! 78! Coming up here next hour on the show, Tiki Barber is going to join us for the NFL on CBS. Yes, not only CBS Sports Radio, And you can watch them on the CBS Sports Network every single day on Tiki and Tierney. But coming up this weekend, he's got NFL action. He's calling games, which is awesome. He'll be on game duty. So we'll talk to Tiki about the NFL coming up here next. And also next hour, looks like the Mets are going to get sold to a guy worth $13 billion. What does this mean for the future of sports? I think there's a connection there. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.